Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. And I got a personal shout out, but I'll do that at the end of the call. On yesterday's call, we began discussing the seven deadly sins, D-E-B-T. Why deadly. We're going to do a brief review before we continue. Number one, my background, circumstances, and surroundings never determine my financial destiny. When you believe your past determines your future, you're dismissing the power of God to change your life. Here are seven reasons why your background, circumstances, and surroundings do not determine your financial destiny.
First, you're not on a fixed income. Thinking that you are living on a fixed income will cause you to fall into the traps of the enemy. And believe me, he wants you thinking in terms of limitation. He wants you to believe that where you are is where you're going to spend the rest of your life. But that is a lie. I mean, straight from where Satan is going to spend eternity. Mark 9:23, God's Word Translation. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said to them, as far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes. And again, in Luke 1:37, Classic Amplified, for with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. That should make you shout this
Hallelujah.
Morning.
Hallelujah. Second, eliminate the poverty mentality. A poverty mentality will hold a person hostage to the belief that there's no other choice, no way out, and that is totally an unscriptural philosophy. A person, a family, may not have chosen to be born in poverty, but they definitely accepted their situation and have chosen to stay there.
Third, gain the victory over the victim complex. Have you been around people who continually talk about the stories of their latest mishap or their tragedy or what's holding them back, their problem, their circumstances, or anything in life that's attacked them? We have a choice in life. We can be a victim or a victor, but we can't be both. Luke 9:62 Contemporary English Version says, Jesus answered, anyone who starts plowing and keeps looking back, is it worth a thing to God's kingdom? So let's pick up where we left off yesterday.
The fourth reason, your background, circumstances, and surroundings do not determine your financial destiny. Fourth, so you got to stop making negative confessions. Proverbs 12:14, Contemporary English Version. We are rewarded or punished by what we say and do. If you feel like you have nothing to give, don't say it. The words that you speak either empower or disable the blessings of God. Angels respond to God's word, which is why we should always be speaking words of faith over our finances, regardless of our current situation. I encourage you to meditate on Psalm 103:20. There have been times that we've been so broke, we couldn't pick up all the pieces. But we never said, we don't have anything to give. And no surprise, God made a way so that we always had something to give. Sadly, there's a shortage mentality where the immediate subconscious response is, I have nothing to give. But that's not true. Unless you believe and confess it so. Proverbs 18:20, Contemporary English Version. Make your words good. You'll be glad you did.
That's a powerful scripture. Fifth, stop looking to them and begin looking to him, meaning God. When we look to man to meet our needs, we're denying the presence and the power of God to minister to us and meet our needs, which he promised to do. We remember where we were, really, when God gave us the revelation for the first time. My husband was in a hotel room after he conducted a debt-free army rally. And he has shared this in times past. He started with Acts 3, 1 through 6. And this is worthy of sharing again, even if we have shared it in the past. Peter and John are going to the synagogue at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it says this, a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple to ask alms of them that entered in, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he, the beggar, gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, look at this carefully. The beggar was expecting to receive something from Peter and John. He was looking to a man to meet his needs, you know, to put food on his table, to pay his bills. But that day he got something that lasted him an entire lifetime. The beggar was touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. The scripture goes on to say, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter raised that beggar's expectation. The beggar was looking for just enough food to get by, to make ends meet. But when he met the power of the Holy Ghost, something was loosed on the inside of him, and it can be loosed on us too.
Yes.
And he, Peter, took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. When we act on the word from the man of God, or reading the word, power is released into our life. It does not matter what our circumstances are. It doesn't matter what anybody else said about them. When we expect to receive from God, our situation will begin to change. And then look at what happens in verse 8. It says, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. For some believers, this deadly sin is the one of omission instead of the one of commission.
It's true. 6, don't insult God by denying his word with the words of your mouth. As we said earlier, our words either empower the angels of God or the devil. Proverbs 13:2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of transgressors shall eat violence. Psalm 103:20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word.
Hallelujah.
Our words have magnetic power.
Yes.
They draw to our lives thoughts and actions that can really shape our destiny. Proverbs 18:20-21. Amplified Bible Classic. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth and with the consequence of his words. He must be satisfied whether good or evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or life.
Wow.
Think on that. See, our words have consequences, and the enemy is ever ready to exploit anything that we say. 1 Peter 5:8. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Now, according to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for seeking is G2212, and it's defined as to seek in order to find. How will the enemy find you, me, us? Well, he'll be listening to our voices. Make no mistake about it. The devil's demons play a game. Well, they play a life and death version of the children's game Marco Polo, where the one who is blindfolded says, Marco. And the ones who are running from him say, Polo. When the enemy says, Marco, you say, I can't give because I'm broke. If you do that, he's found you. We're not telling you to ignore what you perceive to be your current financial reality. But we are telling you to, number one, don't make matters worse by the words of your mouth. Number two, confess and possess the promises of God, not your circumstances. Facts in your circumstances can change in a moment, but God's truth never will.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Hallelujah.
Seventh, be careful about whom you associate with. 2 Corinthians 6:14 warns us, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? In Strong's Concordance, the phrase unequally yoked together is a Greek word, G2086, and it means to come under an equal or different yoke, to be unequally yoked, to have fellowship with one who is not an equal. Unbelievers are not equal to believers. 1 Corinthians 2:12-14. 1 Corinthians 2:12-14 in the New Living Translation says this, "And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means." How frustrating would it be to love or be in business with someone who does not understand the language you speak? Interestingly enough, the word G2086 has a root word, G2218. Are you listening to this? This is good. G2218, and it means slavery. Now that's an interesting image. When you are unequally yoked, you're subjecting your will, your life, to that of another without control of the consequences. And according to the dictionary.com, yoke is defined as a crossbar with two U-shaped pieces that encircle the necks of a pair of oxen or other draft animals working together. Yoke is also defined as the condition of being subjugated by or as if by a conqueror, subjugation, or bondage. In other words, we're being warned that we're placing ourselves in slavery when we marry someone who is not a believer. 2 Corinthians 6:14, New English Translation says, "Do not become partners with those who do not believe. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness?" The point being, however, that if you are married to someone who is an unbeliever, God has scriptures and ways of helping you to cope.
Absolutely.
But don't do it if you're not.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. Well, we just finished.
Wow.
With the first deadly sin. 2 days. Those parts were all parts of the first deadly sin.
Wow.
They were. We'll pick it up again tomorrow. If you're blessed by the teaching and the ministry, go to haroldherring.com. Click the button that says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.